just three verses, 25 through 27. We're going to look at true discipleship, and then the cross of discipleship, and then the cost of discipleship. Maybe, probably three separate messages. There's so much to be seen and learned. Verses 25 through 26. There went great multitudes with him. They turned and said unto them, all of them, if any come to me, man or woman, the young person, any, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, these are the words of our Lord. These are not my words. These are the words of our Lord. And have you noticed? I know you've noticed with me the severity, seriousness of what he's been saying for the last several chapters. I told someone, I'm not avoiding these, but it's very difficult to deal with. And I like comforting God's people more than anything else. I want to be comforted more than convicted, but these are the words of our Lord. He said things like this, chapter 12, he said, there's nothing covered that won't be revealed. There's not one thing hidden that's not going to be exposed. He said, whosoever shall confess me before men, the Son of Man will confess before the angels, but deny me. He said, I'll deny you. He said, sell what you have and give alms and provide bags that wax not old, treasures in heaven. He said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. He said, you be like men and women and people waiting on their Lord. One thing on your mind, waiting on your Lord. He said in the same chapter, I am come to send fire on the earth. He said, suppose I've come to bring peace? No, a sword, he said. Division. I've come to divide. It's serious, isn't it? These are the words of Jesus Christ. To who? Everybody. His disciples. He said in chapter 13, he says, suppose you, they told him about some Galileans that awful death. He said, you think they're worse than anybody else? He said, you don't repent. Didn't he? He said, you're going to bear it. Words of our Lord to his disciples, to everybody. He said, strive to enter in the straight gate. Many, he said, many will seek to enter and won't be able to. Man. He said, there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth to see some sit down with the Lord in heaven and you cast out. That's what he said. And then chapter 14, and he gave the parable of the wedding feast, and he said, all these people made excuses. Everybody made all kinds of excuses. And he said, the Lord, which was him, was angry. Angry. He said, none of them are going to be in the kingdom. None of them. And then he gives this, perhaps the most strongest words possible. If any come after me and hate not his father, mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters, yea, his own life, cannot be my disciple. What are we going to do with it? Most people in the world don't ever read it, don't want to read it, don't care to read it. Now, he's not saying here, let me just tell you what he's not saying. He's not saying this is a condition you meet, that if you do this, you'll get to heaven. What he's saying is, this is the way it is with every one of my true disciples. If it's not, he can't be my disciple. No way. No way. That can't be my disciple. Like when he said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the poor, blessed are they that mourn, meek and hunger and thirst. He's not saying if you strive to be this way, then you'll enter. So that's the way you are. It's not something you drum up. It's just the way it is. If life is there, you're poor in spirit. You mourn. You're meek. You can't know God and be too proud. You can't do it. What he's saying, in no way this person can be my disciple if they... that they're coming after me and prefer anybody or anything over me. No way. Can't be myself. It's not possible. It's just not true. So, now, he said now, he turned to that multitude, verse 25, great multitudes went with him. He turned and said unto them, great multitudes, they all seemed to be following him. How many today profess to be Christians, followers of Jesus Christ? I read one time years ago that 50%, one out of every two adults in the United States profess to be a Christian. Brother, if that was so, we wouldn't have any crime. Kidding? That's ridiculous. Our Lord, that has never been the case. It's always been few. It's always been a remnant. We looked at that. Are there few that be saved? Comparatively. Now, there's going to be more people saved in glory than there are lost. How can that be? Babies. And I just heard one of the greatest messages I've ever heard by my pastor. He said, you become as little children, you're not going to enter the kingdom. That's who's going to be there. Well, he said, if any come after me, see that, come to me. This is a disciple of Jesus Christ. This is a Christian. Who are they after? Him. Not heaven. Not mama. She might not be there. And if she's not, you know what you're going to say? Amen. That's right. If any come to me, and remember, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's what Christ said. All chosen, elect, come to Christ. They come to Him. It's like Simon, Andrew, James, John, Matthew, all of them. They were, you know, in the world. The world was their life. Everything, everyone was their life. They were married. They had children. They had jobs. They had possessions. They had boats, nets, fishes, money. Matthew, publican, he lived for money. The other disciples for fishing, whatever it was. When Jesus Christ chose them and called them, they dropped everybody. And you never hear about their family ever again. They had children. They never brought them up. They had wives. They never brought them up. Why? Christ was their life. They weren't interested in you knowing about their lives and their children. All they were interested in you knowing about Jesus Christ. Because the time remained. It remains with those that be married, those that never been married. Those that had wives, those that had children. And none of those relationships in glory. Not there. All the bride of Jesus Christ, He's our husband. He's our all. He's our life. And that begins here. It doesn't just happen in glory, it begins here. As if not, our Lord said, He's not my son. Now, He said that, didn't He? And every one of them that left, all of these things, Simon, Andrew, and all that, remember he gave them an opportunity one time. Will you go with what? Who? To who? You're our life, he said. You're our life. You're our love. You're our all. You're the one we want. Like David, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none on earth I desire beside thee. Now that man knows God. That man loves God. That's right. To come to Christ, let me remind you, to come to Christ is to be born again. No man comes except the Father draw him. Okay? Born of God. All taught of God, born of God, and what do? They run to Christ. They see their need of Christ. It's faith, it's to believe, and are sure. It's not, well, I believe some doctor. No, believe Him and are sure. He's my Christ. I need a Christ. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. I need a Lord. He's my shepherd. I need a shepherd. No one sheep needs a shepherd. Need. It's need. Words of life. Need. Why do we come here? Because it's Sunday? No, because we need to hear from Him. Love. It's marriage. Why do you go home to your spouse? Love. You want to be with them, don't you? Huh? Does it enter your mind? I want to run off with my buddy. You don't love your wife. Yeah. You're married on paper. Right? The older we get, many times I've been married 42 years now. And the older we get, the more we just like just sitting at home together. Together. Nobody I'd rather be with. That's marriage. That's love. It doesn't wane, it grows. If it's there, if it's not there, it won't last. Love. It's life. Christ our life. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, didn't it? He proved it. So to come to Christ is like marriage. You leave your father and mother. This is a great mystery, said Ephesians 5. It's a great mystery. A man leaves his father and mother. And that's what Christ did then. Came down to Mary. Who'd he come for? Now, if he came for us like that, and you know he didn't consider it a sacrifice. Peter and James and John, they didn't consider it a sacrifice to leave boats. Paul says, done. I got the pearl of great price in exchange. I didn't give up anything. Life. You come to Christ like marriage. And your baptism is kind of like the marriage ceremony. We're telling the world, this one is my life. He laid down his life for me, and I want to lay down my life for him. I believe him, trust him. I'm married to him. I want to be one with him. I want to live with him forever. Yes, I want to be crucified to the world and married and joined, united to Jesus Christ once and for all. Marriage. When you come in marriage to the one you're marrying, you say, I'm yours. Take me. I want to serve you because I love you so much. That's the disciple of Christ. Now, it's not perfect. Far from it. But it's there. If it's not there, no lie. No lie. That's what our Lord said. Now, he uses the word hate. But that's the strongest word you could possibly use it. Our Lord doesn't mince words. He used, you know, the scripture says, is not my word like a hammer? That knocked you hate. Like a fire. We're going to burn away all the drugs. We're going to get rid of all this superfluous stuff. We're going to find out what is left. Gold and silver. We're going to burn away the drug. He said, is not my word like a sword that pierces, cuts, two-edged sword, heals. Surgery is painful, isn't it? surgery is always usually inside. It takes a long time to heal from it. Cuts. He says divides asunder. Separates joints from marrow. Well, that's quite painful. What's that? Joints and marrow. That's something in your natural body tied together, so tied. Have you ever cut a deer, or some of you men have done that? Boy, Brother Stephen, get rid of some of that flesh and sense tough stuff in it. It's joined together. That's family ties. Blood kin. And only one thing to do. Glory to God. If he doesn't, he hadn't operated on you. Circumcision. Cut away what? Flesh. Flesh. Now, our Lord is not telling us to hate our family. Is he? He's not contradicting himself. What did he teach? He said, I tell you, that you heard it said unto you, hate, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. He said, I say unto you, love your enemies. Didn't he say that? He told John to write a whole book on loving your brother. Love, love, love. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. He's not telling us to hate one another, but it's such a hard and shocking word that gets our attention. And you know, it's the strongest word possible to prove the truth from the false. Now, hatred, there's a holy hatred. God hates some things, some people. That's right. You know, religion, the world, religion's full of people. We have a little bit of a sparse crowd this morning. But religion is full. They can't build that tent on 220 building something else. Why? Because he can't get enough room to pack them all in. Why? What are they telling them? They're not telling them to hate one another. They're not telling them the truth. Because the truth cuts. They're compromised. They're taking the edge off. Taking the offense off of God. Remove all that. Prophesy smooth thing. Tell people what they want to hear. And you'll pack them in. Tell them the opposite. Tell them how much God needs them. And you'll pack them in. But tell them God doesn't need them. Tell them God doesn't need you. You're a worm, you're a grasshopper, you're nothing. You're filthy, you're vile. You're wretched. Miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You're a sinner through and through, and God ought to send you to hell right now. Tell them that. You'll get a little. You might get a few. You know who you'll get? You'll get God's people. They all know that. That's why they come, because they know that's what they are, and they need Jesus Christ. Came to save sinners, not good people. Hate. Hate. Now there's holy hatred. God hates. Six things that the Lord hates. Yes, seven are abomination to him. The world doesn't believe you ought to hate anybody or anything. You that love the Lord, hate evil, he said. David wrote Psalm 139. He said, do not I hate them that hate thee. I hate them with a perfect hatred. They're my enemies. God's enemies, he said, are my enemies. I hate them. Didn't it? God hates some people. Human hatred now is evil. Everything about it is evil. Human hatred. Human hatred always has at its root pride. Self. Love of self makes you hate others. Always. Human hatred is evil. It's sinful. It causes all sorts of evil and pain and suffering. And it comes from pride and self-love. It blinds us to reasoning. It just blinds a person to reason. Some people live on hate. How am I going to get to that? I'm going to get that person. Blinds you to all reason. It consumes you. It controls you. It starts wars. It devours us, destroys others, and will eventually destroy us. Hatred. And you know, God's Word says man hates God. That's what Romans 1 said. He hates God. Oh, I don't hate God. you won't hear religion preaching this message. Why? Because they hate this guy. They hate this Jesus Christ said that. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, that's what the Catholics call it. He's the one said this. That's another Jesus they're talking about. Now, love for self is natural. Love for your flesh is natural. Love for your blood kin, that's natural. Everybody does. Our Lord said, you love those that love you. Nothing thankful about that. Even the heathen do that. The mafia, they got family ties, don't they? They'll cut you. They'll kill you. Not my boy. If you touch my boy, I'll kill you. That's mafia. Boy, isn't that noble love? No, that's just sinful flesh. Everybody loves flesh. That's natural. But now, the love of God comes. And He puts a love in you, in God's people, for Him, that's over and above flesh. It's over and above kin. It's over and above self. Who can put a love for somebody else in you more than you love yourself? Who can do that but God? That's the love of God. And it's supernatural. It's not natural. It's with man, it's impossible. You got all these illustrations in Scripture of people doing things. Women, not... John Bunyan was in prison for 12 years and his blind daughter would come and beg him, Daddy, come out and come on. Oh, Daddy, you don't have to preach that message. Come on, Daddy, I love you. He loved her. Oh, he loved her more than he loved himself. Can you imagine your poor little girl come, Daddy, please, blind. This was in a day when there was no welfare. They needed him. Daddy, just stop preaching this sovereign grace. I can't do it. That's a man who knows God. Knows God. Hate. What it is, our Lord is using a term that the world will call it hate. He said, that's what the world thinks. Like foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1 talks about the foolishness of God. There's no foolishness of God. He said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. It's to the world foolishness. But to us it's the wisdom of God and the power of God. Please God by the foolishness of preaching. That's what the world calls it. Foolishness. We don't need this foolishness. Yes, we do. And that what you're calling foolishness is wiser than you. It's wiser than the greatest wisdom man. God's made foolish the wisdom of this world. And those that are saved, they see that everything in this world is foolishness. But God, the simplest truth of God is wisdom and power. See, it's what the world calls foolishness. And this hate is what the world says. You can't possibly love your family. You don't love your family if you choose this religion over them. You don't love. You hate your family. You see? I'm not telling us to hate anybody. Lay down your life. A husband's supposed to love his wife like Christ loved the church. Lay down his life. Give his life for her. Forget himself. That's what he says. That's love. That's the only true love. And see, there it's not. We can nurture it. We can grow in that. By His grace, we can't make it grow. But He sure can. And He will. If you don't grow, there's no life in it. If it doesn't grow, there's no life. That's a characteristic of life in it. It grows. And this growth in grace is a downward growth in humility and out of self. Love to God, love to others. Well, let me give you three illustrations here, okay? Three people. The second message is going to be Abraham. God chose Abraham. Turn with me to Revelation 12. Revelation 12. I was going to have you turn and read each of these illustrations, but don't have time. I'm out of time. But we need to read this. Revelation 12. Three people. Three examples. The scriptures are full of them. Full of them. Hebrews 11 is a hall of faith. 30 some people he mentioned. All of them. Sacrificed homes, family, everybody. Because they believe God. Follow him. All of them. Abraham. He was an idolater, 75 years old. Steeped in religion. He was a Methodist. Born and raised a Methodist. You ain't going to get a Methodist out of Methodism. God will. Oh, he's a staunch Catholic. You mean stinking, don't you? You can't get him out of that. He believes the church is life, and God will. If he belongs to God, he will. He'll bring him out. He brought Abraham out, okay? All right, the ultimate proof that Abraham believed God is God said, take your son, your only son, and kill him today. Abraham rose up early and took that boy and was about to put a knife in his chest. And God said, now I know. You've proved it. That didn't make God love him. That's the reason why he did it, because God did love him. It was already there. And we're gonna preach that, Lord willing, in the next, by request. Sister back there asked me to preach from that this morning. I said, I'd just be delighted to. Ruth. Two girls born in the same family. Ruth and Orpah. Same country. Heathen, idolaters, they loved their mothers and fathers, didn't they? They loved their home, their families. They loved all of them. Okay, a woman came in and her husband came into town with two sons. She married one of them. And he died. Her husband died. Father-in-law died. Both those husbands died. Ruth and Orpah. And then so Naomi said, you girls stay here in Moab with your family. I'm going back to home with God's people in Bethlehem. I'm going back. And Orpah said, see you later. And Orpah went back to her gods and back to her family, her mother. Her mother was living there and she wanted to live with her mother. And her mother was a heathen, didn't know God. And that's where she went, because Orpah didn't know God. Ruth said, please don't make me go back there. I don't want to go back there. That's not my home. That's not my family. That's not my father, not my mother, not my brethren. Your people are my brethren. I'm going to go where you go. I'm going to live with you forever. I'm going to die with you. Your God's my God. Your people my people. And Naomi, like Christ says to us, come on. You know what happened to Ruth, don't you? And then there's Moses. Had it all. Going to be Pharaoh. He's going to be president of the United States. Most powerful man in the world. He has it all. Influence, everybody bowing and scraping to Moses. He's going to have it all. The biggest palace, the finest palace that Egypt can offer. The finest chariot. He's going to have 10 chariots. He's going to have 100 chariots. He's going to have it all. Money, wealth, fame, fortune. He's going to have it all. And God came. And he saw a burning bush. That's Christ crucified. You know what he did? I'm not Pharaoh's son. I don't want to live in Egypt. I don't want any of that stuff. What do I want? I want to be God's disciple. I want to be with God's people. You can have Egypt. It's going to perish anyway. I'm going to just be a stranger and pilgrim. God's big son. If he hadn't done that, he's not God's disciple. Right? Can't be. If any man love father and mother. One place, another place our Lord put it this way. He loved more than me. That's what he said. More than me. That's the only sense in God's word where it's talking about love less. You know, the Arminians, the word hate, you look it up in a strong concordance, it means detest, despise. Alright? And our Lord said they'll hate you, meaning they detest and despise. He said they'll kill you. That's hate. They hated him. What did they do? They killed him. There's some people God hates, he's going to kill them. Not love less. That doesn't apply to God. God can't love anybody less. You hear me? His love is perfect. He can't possibly love you less than me. That's not God's love. That's us. That's our love. And he tells you and me, you better love me more. And you will. All right, look at Revelation 12, verse 11. Our Lord is commending these disciples of his in verse 11. It says they overcame him. Who? The accuser of the brethren, the tempter, Satan, the world. How? By the blood of the Lamb. They saw Christ coming for them, dying, living for them, dying for them, and they died, and it killed them. His love slew them, and they fell in love with him like a bride, and now they're living for him. And what are they going to do? They're going to die for him. They want to live and die with him. These widows in here will tell you right now, if they could have died with their husband when he died, they would have done it. I'm going to go with you, honey. That's love, isn't it? You'd rather have gone first. And you miss him. Well, read on. It says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Love not their life. One more. Revelation 17. You see, his bride that he marries, an unfaithful woman. That's who he came to marry. But she doesn't remain that way. She doesn't remain that way. She becomes devoted. Revelation 17, verse 14. That says, the world, the beast, dragon, all make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. He's Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and what? Faithful. Do you take this man to be your lawful grace husband? I do. Sickness or health? Death do you part? I will. God's people are made willing in the day of his power. It's there. No sacrifice at all. None at all. And I gotta say this. This is important in our text. It said, hate not. In Deuteronomy 13 and Exodus 32, there are two stories of Moses telling that there's some of the Israelites said, come up after our gods. Come with us. We're going to worship this God and that God. And Moses said, strap on your swords, everyone. He said, go and kill your brother. If that was your brother that said that, go kill him. Your flesh and blood brother. Go kill him. And they did. They did. They really did. A brother went after him. That happened in the Civil War. Over an ignoble cause, wasn't it? Civil War? What are they fighting over then? That's what they did. But this is a noble cause. Now, aren't you glad we're not under law? That was the law. But they did that. Did they kill innocent people? No, they killed people God's going to kill anyway. But what they proved was, we love the cause of God and truth more than my kin. But if my brother doesn't love this God, that's not my brother. If my brother rejects this truth, that's not my brother. Here's my brother. I was like, no God, not the truth. That hard? I didn't say it. Christ is the truth. Didn't it? And, you know, can you be a constant companion to somebody that hated your husband or wife? Could you possibly be a companion of someone that hated your spouse? That can't be. It's not possible. It's not possible here either. How can light have fellowship with darkness? And I didn't say that. The Lord did. It can't be. I'm not going to hang around with somebody that hates my God. One who looks to Christ will not justify or excuse his own flesh and blood. Won't do it. Won't justify or excuse his own flesh and blood. She's lost. He's lost. He or she doesn't know God. They don't know God. My daddy's lost. My mama's lost. She didn't know this God. She didn't believe this God. She was a good mother and all that, but she didn't know God. She had no use for the gospel. She's lost. Now that's love for God. Glory, His truth, over and above everybody, everything. You won't love yourself. You'll hate yourself. You'll condemn yourself. You'll not justify yourself. Now, man loves himself, but when it comes to God, he hates. The true child of God says, I deserve to die. And my family's just like me. And there was one man in the scripture, Jehoshaphat, who was a friend with Ahab. And God, and they had business together. And God over and over again did things. He killed Ahab right in front of Jehoshaphat's eyes. Well, that shocked him, and he came to his senses and separated. And well, then he got back in business with Ahab's son. And they got ships and all that. And the Lord destroyed all those ships. And he sent a prophet to Jehoshaphat and said, how can you love those that hate God? Don't you see what God's doing to you? That's a true story. 2 Chronicles 19. He sent a prophet to him and said, you can't love God and love these people who hate God. You can't be joined with them. Can't do it. And God will remove everything from you to show you. And He did. It's just God's mercy. He didn't destroy Jehoshaphat. Now the next, that's hard. These hard saying. Who said it? And no man spake like this man. Can you imagine the authority and the gravity of his voice and his bearing and his demeanor as he was saying these things? Eyes piercing, cutting. And at those same two-edged sword, the same, he says, now, come unto me. You've got to leave everybody and everything. Now, come unto me. If you do, he says, I'm your all. I'm going to provide everything for you. I'm your husband. Don't you see? You can't keep any of those things anyway. It's all perishing. And I'm life. And you don't need a husband. No. No, you don't. You need Christ. You don't need a wife. You don't need children. Some don't have children. Some do. You don't need those things. God gives us all things richly to enjoy, but we don't need those things. What do we need? One thing is. And if we belong to Him, He's going to show us it. Okay.